Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Got a great show lined up for you this hour, especially right now. We're going to be visiting with our good friend Robert Fritz. Robert has been with us many times in the past, and he is he's a composer, he's a filmmaker, he's an originalization consultant. He is the founder of Technology for Creating, and he's the author of a number of books, including The Path of Least Resistance. Also, his new book is called The Path to Least Resistance for Managers, and I think another one is called The Managerial Moment of Truth, if I'm not mistaken. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
It's good to have you back. Did I say the book correctly, The Path to Least Resistance for Managers?
Yeah, I have my original book, the very first one I wrote was called Path of Least Resistance. And the second one, well, another one was Path of Least Resistance for Managers. It's not the latest, but it's one of the books that a lot of companies are using, a lot of universities are using to describe how organizations can be structured well so that they actually work better.
Right. Well, tell us about what it means. I want to hear more about
this. Well, first of all, the phrase itself, Path of Least Resistance, there's two meanings for that. One is the colloquial meaning, which means easy way out. And
right.
That's not what I mean. I mean the scientific definition of Path of Least Resistance, which is that energy moves where it's easiest for it to go. And
right.
Sometimes where it moves is not so good for building a company.
Right.
So the second principle of the Path of Least Resistance is that it's the underlying structure, like it's the riverbed that causes the river to move where the water goes.
Right.
And then the third principle, though, is that we can change the riverbed. We can change the underlying structures and thereby change the path of least resistance. So
there's a couple
when we're
of
trying
things
to put
that
change into an organization and we don't change the underlying structures that give rise to the current behavior, then we're always going to see a pattern, which is first the change is put in, seems to take place, seems to take hold, and then eventually it's rejected like the body rejects an implanted organ.
Right. A couple of things I'm thinking about as you're speaking are some things that I learned from a couple of mentors of mine that I think apply to the path of least resistance. And one of them is discretion is a better part of valor.
Means what in this case?
Well, my point is when you're trying to decide, I think to speak to your point, you're trying to decide how to take the path of least resistance. You know, should you do that or should you not do that? And I think that's one thing. And then the second one is this: a mentor of mine once said to me, I was having difficulty deciding which way to go, and he said, "Well, Jim, I think you need to decide if you have a chance to fight. He said if you have a fighting chance or do you just have a chance to fight?" And I think that applies to what you're talking about here. When, in other words, is the path of least resistance prudent? Is it the path to valor, or is it something I should take?
Well, you know what I'm really talking about is the way the organizations are structured. Meaning, and I don't mean the reporting relationships. I really mean.
Mm-hmm.
What are the elements, and how do they and how do they impact each other? There's two kinds of behavior that structure produces, and incidentally, about the path of least resistance as a phrase, mm-hmm. we always take the path of least resistance whether we want to or not. So again, that's the scientific meaning. We don't have a choice about that because, like the water in the riverbed, you know, we're always going to go where energy finds it easiest to flow. If we look at organizations over the last 20 years, we see one of the two behaviors is oscillation, meaning that first you do something and then you go and do its opposite.
The pendulum.
So organizations build up capacity and then they downsize, and then they build up capacity and then they downsize.
Yeah.
Or they centralize decision-making and then they decentralize decision making.
We sure see that in major corporations, don't we?
Well, we also see it in small businesses as well. Actually, we see them try one route, maybe focus on one particular product, and then we see them try to diversify. In terms of centralized decision-making, we see that even in small companies, whether we're all going to decide or whether the boss is going to decide. And you know, it's not a question if there's a right way or a wrong way. Anything can work. I mean, it can work that we have a collective decision-making process. It can work that one person is in charge and really makes decisions. What doesn't work is when, because you've done something, it evokes movement in the opposite direction. That's an actual structural pattern that we see over and over. Mm-hmm. And the other pattern that structure produces, in other words, if we really do this right, what we see is advancement. And this is where you create success, and the success becomes a platform for future success rather than it's a setup for some kind of reversal.
Why is it that human beings create something that works and then move away from it? What I mean, you see that all the time.
Well, it's not just human beings. It really is. We are as much part of nature as nature is. And so you see us operating exactly the same way that the rest of nature operates. And there are underlying, think of it as physics. I mean, that's what it's really like. We just don't happen to see it. But here's the thing, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make one major distinction that might be useful to everybody. It's the difference between problem solving and looking for desired outcomes. Now, a lot of companies,
Say that again, Robert.
Yeah, it's the difference between problem solving versus working on behalf of goals that you want, outcomes that you're after. Activities around problem solving. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, and first of all, if you think about it, if you get rid of all the problems, it doesn't necessarily mean you have what you want. Because problem solving is about getting rid of what you don't want. You get rid of what you don't want if you could actually do it. That's no guarantee you're going to actually accomplish what you want.
Hold on to that thought, Rob. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 after the hour. Sounds to me like he's talking about crisis management versus the opposite of crisis management, too. We'll talk about that some more with our good friend Robert Fritz right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We skip the life and then go. Only you can to make all this world seem right.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. There's a little Platters for you right out about 1958 from the Wayback Machine. Still beautiful music. And Robert Fritz, you remember that music, don't you?
It's great.
Robert Fritz, ladies and gentlemen, is with
just
us.
Looking
and
for a little Richard right now.
We got that too. We might be able to pull that off for you before you leave. We have Richard Pennyman here on the show. Robert Fritz is with us, folks. He's the author of The Path of Least Resistance for Managers and other books. Robert, give us your website. Tell us where your books are available.
www.robertfritz.com.
Robert Fritz, FRITZ.
Right.
And check it out, folks. You find out all the things he does there. Robert, when we went to the break, it sounded to me like when you said, you know, there's a difference between managing, and I'm thinking this is what how I'm going to say it correctly. There's a difference between managing challenges and managing for goals, the goals that you seek, for the outcome that you want. And it sounds like the first one is another way of saying crisis management. Am I right?
Well, crisis management is the extreme of the same principle, which is what we're doing is we're taking actions to have things go away rather than taking actions that things come into being. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't problems that need addressing. But the question is, what is our organizing principle? And what we recommend is the organizing principle be desired outcomes you want. What is it you want to build? What is it you want to bring into being? What is it that you want to create? For companies, they're always offering a product or service or a combination of products and services, and that's their offer. They have a market, and the best business strategy is to make the closest connection you can, the closest match that you can between your offering and the market motivation and desires and wants. You know, make them an offer they can't refuse because it's such a good offer. Now, that actually can become the goal and organize the entire company around the business strategy, which means that our activities every day are often around three things, really. How do we make the offer better? How do we understand the market better so we can make that match even closer? And then, of course, marketing is how do we tell our market about what we're offering and how it really connects with their motivation. And if we can do that, we're going to have a really good, solid business. And, of course, that's one other thing is the infrastructure, of course, that supports all of that and so on and so on. But, you know, a lot of people forget the basics of business, which is that we offer a product or service or a combination, and that's what we do.
Well, you know, what it sounds like to me you're saying, and this is so important, I think, folks, is if I had to put what you're saying into one simple sentence, I would say this. Who's running your company, folks? Is it events in front of you? Is it the things that other people present to you? Is it the world coming at you? Or are you running your company? Who's in charge here? Ask yourself, who's in charge here? Are all these things that I'm dealing with, I'm running from pillar to post, hither and yon to solve all these little problems and feeling really busy and maybe solving problems and being so proud of myself. I've solved all these problems. Boy, I had a great day. I slayed all these dragons. Well, folks, maybe you're slaying dragons when you don't have to slay dragons.
I've had many people tell me that when they rethought and switched from problem solving to supporting outcomes instead as an organizing factor, that some of the problems they thought they had to go confront disappeared. They didn't have to.
Yeah.
They found ways around them where they were no longer at issue.
So here's the question, it seems to me, Robert. Today, when you start, if you'll slow down just a little bit, before you react to something, before you go work on something, every time you work on something today, don't before you work on it, say, okay, is this what I have put in front of me to accomplish, or is this what somebody else or something else has put in front of me as an obstacle, and am I spending more time on those obstacles that maybe I could avoid than I am working on the things that I want to work on? And as you said a minute ago, Robert, the more you do the latter, the fewer obstacles you'll have in front of you.
Yeah, and you know, not only that, by the way, you put that really well, but, you know, as you, even if, let's say, somebody from your company comes up to you and says, look, boss, I got a problem, the first thing you can ask that person is, what's the outcome we're after? What are we working in favor of? And a lot of times the person can even identify what we're trying to accomplish. And a lot of times what they'll say is, well, the absence of the problem. Well, that's not the outcome we're after. What is the actual outcome we're trying to accomplish here? And if you can sort of take everybody and help change their orientation from moving away from things to moving toward things, and just always ask this question, what are we trying to achieve? What's the outcome we're after? Then suddenly everybody starts to get a different take on this. And it's a very simple but very practical way to help people shift their focus from a problem orientation to an outcome orientation.
Robert, I've got to wrap it up. We've run out of time. It's always a great pleasure to have you here. You always teach us so much. You help us expand our thinking. Thank you for the good job. RobertFritz.com, ladies and gentlemen, is the website. Robert, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.
My great pleasure, Jim.
See you next time. Quick break. There you go. What do you think? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Richard Pennyman. See, Robert, we get you. We take care of you here, don't we? Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.